Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Psochim Daf Nun Zayin. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a Mark Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur 11 lines from the top of Daf Nun Zayin. Before we begin the actual Gemara, let us glance at the side where we have a topic heading and a structural note. The topic, Hismoidedus im Baalei Zroya, the strife that we encountered with people that are tough characters. Baalei Zroya, ruffians, as will become clear when we learn the Gemara. And under the Mivneh heading, you can see a bow tie is used to highlight the expressions Oirois Kochim. These are the skins from animals that were sacrificed. When an animal is sacrificed, if they are high-level sanctity animals, which we call Kochei Kochim, the skins of those animals were divided amongst the Kohanim that were serving at that time in the Beis HaMikdash. So at any given day, there was a service group of Kohanim known as a Beis Av, and that service group of Kohanim, that family of Kohanim, if you will, would divide the skins equally amongst themselves of that day's sacrificed animals. There's more detail, which Mirtz Hashem, as we get into the source, we will see on that topic. There's another bow tie, and you could see the expression Koros Shel Shikma. Those are the beams made from the Shikma tree. We notice also a diamond that appears. The diamond represents Shlavim Shel Takonis Bekesher Le'oros Kochim. These are a series or different stages of rulings that were imposed surrounding the issue of the leather or the skins of the sacrificed animals. Now the Gemara. Tana Rabbanan, Bo Rishona Hoyu Manichim Oros Kochim Belishkas Beis HaParvo. Lishkas Beis HaParvo was an office that was was adjacent to the Azora of the Beis HaMikdash. So initially they would take the skins of the Kochei Kochim, of the Ola, Chatus, and Oshem, or public sacrifices, and they would deposit the skins in this Lishka, this office called Beis HaParvo. Lo Erev Hoyu Mechalkin Oison La'anshe Beis Av. And in the evening, every day in the evening, they would divide the skins to that day's service group of Kohanim. Rashi gives more background, and he points out that every mishmar, there were 24 mishmaros of Kohanim that served in the Beis HaMikdash. They lived all over the land of Israel. Each mishmar was a week's service group for 1 week, and that mishmar was divided into six daily units, and the daily unit is called a Beis Av. So, as we said, every day's sacrifices, skins, were then divided in the evening. V'hoyu Baalei Zroyos Noitlin Oison Bezroa. However, there were tough guys amongst the Kohanim, the strong ones, and they would take more than they had coming to them. Hiskinu Shiu Mechalkin Oison Me'erev Shabbos Le'erev Shabbos. They made a ruling that the skins would not be divided on a daily basis, but from week to week on Fridays. Rashi says, L'erev Shabbos, the Kulei Mishmora Teve Hosam, the entire week's service group was there. V'loya Nichu Lebali Zeros Litol Bezeros. Since it was a large group of Kohanim, so the ruffians wouldn't be able to get away with it. So they made this ruling after the original practice. They imposed a ruling that the division would take place from week to week. The Asion Kulu Mishmoros, that at that time all the Mishmor was together. the entire Mishmor was present in the Beis HaMikdash for Shabbos. So they got together on Friday, v'shaklan b'hadodi, and they would take all together. V'adayin hoyu gedolei kahuna noitlin oison bezroa. But still, there was a zroa problem here, and that's the ministers or the high officials amongst the Kohanim. Rashi says, Sorim Shebahem. Sorim is a minister amongst them. They would take more than they have coming to them. And they would take it, Bezroa means they would take it by force. Umdu Bailim Vigdishum Lashamayim. The Bailim means the owners. Who are the owners of these skins? It's the collective Kohanim. The Kohanim of the Mishmar got together and they dedicated the skins to the temple fund. So once they were dedicated, they were sanctified to the Bedek HaBayis, the temple repair fund, so no one was going to take it for themselves. Omru, it was then reported, Lo hoyu yomim u'otim, not much time passed, ad shi chipu es ha'echal kulo betavlois shel zohov. They were able to cover, to coat it with gold plates, tavlos, or plates of like tiles or plates of gold. Shein amo al amo k'ovei diner zohov. They measured an amo by an amo, a half a meter by half a meter, with the thickness of a dinar, is a type of coin. So it has they had this thickness of a coin, diner zohov. Ularegel, and on the holidays, Hoyu Makaplin Oison, they would then remove, detach these gold plates that they used to line the walls of the Hechal, and on the holidays they detached them. Umanichin Oison Algav Male Bahar Habayas, and they placed them on a step leading up to the Temple Mount, Kideshu Oile Rigolim Royan, so that the holiday pilgrims that came three times a year to the Beis HaMikdash, they would see Shemalachtem Noe Ve'ein Bo Delem. So they would see that, who brought these sacrifices? These sacrifices were brought by the public, individuals who had sinned, or the daily public sacrifices. It was the skins that were used to buy these gold plates came ultimately from the public. So they should see that, they see the fruit, so to speak, of all of that which they had brought in the course of time. So they saw, and this showed them that their work, their malacha, their productivity was pleasant, and that there is no dofi. Dofi is an expression meaning there's nothing lacking in them. Tana, Abba Shol Omer. Koros Abba Shol says, Koros Shel Shikmo Hoyu B'Yericho. There were Shikmo beams in Yericho. Vayubalis Rose. Notlin Osan Bezroan. Tough people used to come and take them by force. Amdu Bailim Vigdishim L'Shamayim. The owners saw this happening and they dedicated them to the holy fund. Aleihem Ve'al Kayotze Bohem Omar Abba Shol Ben Bitnis Mishum Abba Yosef Ben Chonon. Regarding them and their like, Abba Shol said in the name of Abba Yosef, Oy li mi beis baitus, Oy li me Allah son. Baitus was a Kohen Godol, and they had in their household, even though Baitus may have been a fine fellow, but Beis Baitus had in them, in his household, he had slaves that used to be very high-handed and beat people. And Olason is a club, sticks that were used as a club. And woe unto me from that household and their clubs. Oy li mi beis chonin, oy li mi lechishoson. The lechishoson, literally, are murmurings, but yo'atzei ro, Rashi says, this family used to provide evil counsel. We're talking about a time period when it seems that even though there was a Beis HaMikdash and there was a lot of, say, ritualistic observance of Judaism, but there were a lot of social problems, a topic that's worth a great deal of investigation in and of itself in order to understand a little deeper how it could be that the Churban HaBayis, the destruction of the temple, came about in the first place. and other phenomenon that befell the Jewish people, other catastrophes. There is a, you know, there's Yesh Din V'Yesh Dayan, there's an Almighty that sits and watches from above, and there are reasons for why different things befall the Jewish people throughout history. So there is a definite comment being made here in this source as we go on. Oy li mi beis katrus, oy li mi kul musam. Woe unto me from this family, the Katrus family, and their kumus is a pen that's used for writing. And Rashi says, "Kaisvin igros l'rov." They used to write letters that led to evil. Rashi is very terse here. It could very well be that they wrote letters to the government as informers on others, and evil befell the population as a result. Oy li mi beis Yishmael ben Fiachi, oy li mi egroifon. Woe unto me from the house of Yishmael ben Fachi. And Rashi points out that he was a fine fellow, Yishmael ben Fachi, but his household, Anshi Beso, were tough guys. And woe unto me from their egroifon, of their fists, shame, kleidim gedolim, uvneim gizborim, v'chasneim amarkolin. It was a great deal of nepotism that took place there, where they were their egrofim. They were high-handed. They were strong-fisted. That family produced kayanim gedolim, and they had their children were appointed as treasurers, and their sons-in-law chasanim amarkalin. Amarkalin is an abbreviated expression that has to do with Omar Kol. That they were like directors of it. They would issue orders and they would be followed out. So they, in that family, they had Amarkalin. Rashi points out Omar Kulo Alpiv Nechtach Kol Tzorach Hektish. They had control over all the matters of the Beis Hamikdash. And as you could see from before, there was a great deal of money and wealth involved in the temple workings. The avdehem choyften esa'om b'maklos, and their slaves, their servants used to beat the people with sticks. The Gemara continues. Tonu rabbanan arba tzvochos tzav chazorah. Here's a bit of a. There's some imagery over here where it describes the temple courtyard, the Azora, issuing four screams. And you'll see that the term scream might have a negative connotation, but that's not really the case as we go through the cases. On the side of the Gemara, we have a Nose Mivne heading where we've written Arbut Svoch Sof Chazora. Triangle indicates Shnayim Shiyotsu Anoshim Roim, Shiyetsu Anoshim Roim. Two were calls to evict negative people. And another kind of triangle with a colored in tip are Shnayim Shikonsu, where there were the tzvacha, the shout was a shout to have people brought in. So now the source. Tonu Rabbanan, Arba Tzvocha Tzvocha Azor. Four shouts were shouted by the Azor. Rishona, Tzu Mikan B'nei Eli. The B'nei Eli, the sons of the Kohen Gadol, Eli, who was the Kohen Gadol at the time of Shmuel Hanavi, that his sons should be evicted. Shetimu Hechal Hashem. Rashi says, Shetimu Kirichtiv Asher Yishkevun Es Hanoshim. They profaned, defiled the Beis Hamikdash. Now, how did they defile? That is a bit of an involved. There's more to it. Rashi is very terse over here, but they delayed the sacrifices of women that had recently given birth, and as a result of that, the women tarried in Jerusalem and didn't return home, thereby causing the women to be kept away from their husbands. And in light of that, because of their behavior regarding the korbanos, the sacrifices of these women, the pasuk views them very severely as if they slept with the women. So, but they didn't actually sleep with them, but as a result of what we described, the pasuk comes down very harshly on them. So the Azora is shouting, "Get them out of here!" V'od svacha say mikan yisocher ish kvar bar koi. Get rid of him shemechabed es atzmo umechalo kotshi shamayim. He bestows upon himself respect, and at the same time is defiling or disparaging the sacrifices. And what was his? What did he do? Davikoruch yode b'shiroi v'ovid avoida. He would wrap his hands in material, in cloth, because he didn't want to handle all the blood and guts of the korbanos. But there's a problem, because chatzitza passels. If there's an interposition between the hands of the Kohen and the sacrifice that he is dealing with, that ruins the korban. Well, he conducted himself that way, and so he was ruining the korbanos, and at the same time also it showed that he was repelled by all of the korban material, which is a bizayon. It's disparaging to the korbanos. The Od Tzvacha, V'od sofcho azora su shorim rashechem v'kones. Now you see we dashed underline v'kones, and the next two lines later also, so you can see the contrast. And there should enter, but the gate should open and enter Yishmoel ben Fiachi, talmido shel Pinchas v'yishamish bekuna gadol. Notice we had him cited earlier, but that was in a negative sense. It was base Yishmoel ben Pachi, but he himself was a great man. And the Azora shouts to have him enter, Talmud of Pinchas v'yishamesh bekuna gedola, and he should serve as Kohen Gadol. The Od Tzvacha Tzofcho Azora su shorim rashechem v'kones Yochanan ben Narvoi talmido shel Pinkoi. Have Yochanan come in. He was a student of Pinkoi. The Amali Kresu Mikot Shishamayim, and he should fill himself, fill his belly, literally with sacrificial offerings. Omru Olav Al Yochanan Ben Arvoi. It was said about him, Shoy Oichel Sholosh Meis Agolim, and there's a starred note that points out he and his family. It's not him all by himself, but he together with his family had a large family, and they ate 300 calves, v'shoisa gimel me'ez gar v'yayin, and drank 300 flasks of wine, v'eichel arboim saw goizolos b'kinuos, and he ate 40 saws a measure, 40 saw of birds as kinuos, as dessert. Amru kol yomav shel Yochanan ben Arvoi. Here is the special feature of this man and his family's great consumption of food is in his days lo nimsa noiser b'mikdash. There was no leftover sacrifices. Ma salko be b'yisocher ish kvar bar koi. Whatever happened to him, you can see, we have an arrow to the immediate right-hand side of the more. You can see where we referred to him earlier, and also a dotted underline. He was the one who wrapped his hands in garments, in material, so as not to come into direct contact with the korbanos. Whatever happened to him? So the Gemara reports, Amri, and this answer lasts a number of lines. Amri, it was said about him, Malko, Malkis, Sohavi, Yasvi, once upon a time the king and the queen were sitting. Malka Omar, the king said, Gad Yoyoi, a goat is better. Umalchitso Amra Imro Yoy, a sheep is better. So they were arguing, and Rashi says these are Malchei Beis Chashmonai, these were descendants from the Chashmonoim family of Hanukkah fame that lived toward the latter part of the second Beis HaMikdash period. So these two royal couple were arguing which is considered a better creature. Amru man muhach, and they said, well, who will settle this? And they answered, Kohen Gadol. Let the Kohen Gadol settle the matter. The kamasi korbanos kol yoma, he offers sacrifices all every day, so he would know which is better. Also ihu, so they brought in Yisocher ish kfar bar koi. He came in. We continue at the top of Omid Beis. Achvi biyode, and he made a gesture, which is the sign of Rashi says loshen tzchok. It's an offhanded type speech, and he said e gad yoyoi, if a goat was better, yasik l'tamida, it would be offered as the tamid, as the daily sacrifice, the tamid shel shachar, tamid shel vayamim, which we know was a sheep. So if the goat was better, it would be offered as the tamid. Now So he is saying that the sheep is better. So in effect, he was arguing with the position taken by the king. And not only that, but he did so in an offhanded fashion. Amar Malka, the king, reacted. He says, Hayu v'lo havelei emsa d'malchusa, since he didn't show fear of the monarchy, not only did he not agree with me, Rashi says, but he also disagreed in an offhanded fashion. Nifsiku liyamine, let his right hand be cut off. Yoav Shochad, this Kohen Gadol, Yisochar by name. So he said he gave some shochad bribery to the king's minister, to the official who was charged with cutting off his hand, upaski lismol, in exchange for the bribe, so they cut off his left hand instead. Shama Malko, the king got wind of this, he heard of that, upaski lismol, he cut off his right hand anyway. So now he's left without both hands. Omar Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef lived many years later in Amora. He said, Boruch Rachmona, blessed be Hashem, Ashkele liyasocher ish kfar barkoi limitarfase mine bahai alma, that collected from him his portion in this world. In other words, he received his punishment in this world. Don't forget, you see here what we call measure for measure. He didn't want his hands dirtied in the korbonus material. His hands were that which were cut off, so he got punished. But his punishment was in what punishment was in this world, and as such, that enables a person to receive full benefit of reward in the world to come. Omar Rav Ashi, we have a house marking, and you can see on the side under the Mivneh heading, these are Shnei Deos Ad Kamo Hayisocher Lo Hayim Lumo, two opinions as to how ignorant this person was. Amar Rav Ashi, Yisocher Ish Kfar Barkoi Lo Tona Mas Nisan, he was not familiar even with Tanaic sources. Disnan, Rav Shimon Omer, Kvosim Koidmin Le'izim B'chol Mokim. Rav Shimon says that if you have two sacrifices in front of you, Kvosim as a sheep and Izim, so Rashi says B'chol Mokom Kosav Keves Trila, that wherever the Torah features these korbanos, it features the Keves first. Yochom Neishem Uvcharen B'minon, is it because the sheep is better? Talmud Lomar, in one place the Pasuk features a Keves in the second position. Talmud Lomar Im Keves Yovi Korbono, and this Pasuk is Pasuk Vayikra Perek Dalet Pasuk Lamed Beis, is on the heels of Perek Dalet Pasuk Chav Ches, where a goat was featured beforehand. So in one place you see the order is switched. The fact that the order is switched in one place, it shows us Malamed Sheshneim Shkulim Ke'echod, that really the sheep and goats are equal. And you'll notice we dashed underline that, showing Malamed Sheshneim Shkulim Ke'echod, showing us that this Yisachar Ishkvar Barkoi didn't know even a Mishnah. Ravina Omar Afilu Mikra Nami Lo Kora, he didn't even read Psukim. Dechtiv Im Keves Im Eiz, the Posuk, and Rashi explains in Keves Yovi Lechatos, Rashi under the Gemara, Im Keves Im Eiz, Gabi Shlomim, by the Shlomim Korban, Midolo Hero Lo Hakosuv Remez Muvchor Bozeh Mizeh, from the fact that the Posuk doesn't show any reference to one being better than the other, Shamas Mino Shishneim Shovim, says Im Keves, and it says im eis e boi keves lisi e boi eis lisi. What if you want to bring a sheep, so bring a sheep. If you want to bring a goat, bring a goat. And as Rashi says, the pasuk doesn't reflect one as being better than the other. Hence our subject here, Yisachar ish kfar barkoi, wasn't even familiar with the psukim, showing just how ignorant he was. And of course we saw the fate that befell him. As you can see, the fourth perek concludes over here. Following this is the fifth perek, and from the fifth to the ninth perek of Masechet Psochim, the preoccupation will be within the realm of kochim, within the realm of sacrifices, specifically the Korban Pesach. And in addition to the standard Korban Pesach, which was brought on the 14th of Nisan, the 9th perek will feature dinim halachas concerning Pesach Sheni, for one who wasn't able to bring the Korban Pesach at a regular time. There was a makeup date on the 14th of Iyar. Before we conclude, let us just remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.